good. Well, isn't God good? Just take a deep breath. Surely is God good? All the time. If you've been touched by God the Father in your physical body, just lift up a hand to him and say, God, not even just today, but just in your life, you know he's touched your body. Just say amen. See, he's so good to you. He's so kind to us. Pastor Craig, thank you for the word this morning. You know, I want to speak just a few thoughts this morning from, it's always from my heart, but kind of from the position of the so-called father of the house, been here for a while. What Pastor Craig did this morning was he prophesied over my life. And what's encouraging about the gift of prophecy or the prophetic ministry is that gift is always supposed to call greatness out. It's supposed to encourage, supposed to exhort, supposed to build us up, right? In the Old Testament, oftentimes the prophet would do what? It was always kind of gloom and doom. It was always negative. But in the New Testament, that gift is so precious to us around here because we have been contending for the prophetic for a lot of years. Many of us have been sustained through very difficult and dark periods of our journey because of a prophetic word, because someone has come alongside of us as a part of the family of God and said, I feel like the Lord's speaking to you right now, or to me about you. And then we declare that over someone, and it just resonates, right? It just encourages us. It strengthens us. So this morning, I believe Pastor Craig didn't know at all what I was thinking, but what I love about what he did was an act of obedience. He stepped out and believed, and when I looked up, I'm like, why is he standing in front of me right now? I'm kind of like, I thought Landon was supposed to be here right now. And then when he began to prophesy, my spirit, man, just began to rise up like, yeah, I can take the world over. Right? But it's bigger than that. It's what I believe to be where the Church of America has got to go. And where the Church of America has got to go, it's not related to the prophetic necessarily, it's related to this. It's related to what we call family church. Probably every church in America gets up on Sunday morning and goes, welcome to our family, right? And some people are going, yeah, welcome. And it is a statement of fact that we are a part of the family of God. Bottom line, we know that. But what I would like to do this morning is just break that apart a little bit and tell you that I think it's more than just a statement. I believe it's what Pastor Craig and what we've been demonstrating for a lot of years, whether it's good, bad, indifferent, whether we've done it well, haven't done it well, I think what's important is that we try our best to understand what the Father's heart is as it relates to a family church. Because we don't want to be a factory church. You know what a factory church is? It's just kind of molded and fashioned after everyone else. And we just kind of, like, mechanically, we do what we do. Some would say because our worship lasts the way it does, we're kind of mechanical in that. I don't think that to be true because we never know what the outcome of our worship is going to be. There's times when maybe the Lord says as a family, hey, drop all of what you're doing and just spend an hour and a half loving me and worshiping. And there's no sermon per se. Right? There's other times when we believe the prophetic takes its priority in the atmosphere. So there's a lot of different expressions that come to a family church. It's not so cut and dry, not cookie cutter, if you will. It's got to be organic. It's got to be the place where we allow certain types of things to take place in our midst so that you and I as brothers and sisters in God and as a mom and dad in the church, we are able to do what God's telling our family to do, not because the culture of the church is telling us what to do, or I'm going to add this, because we are what we call a revival culture, because we believe in signs and wonders and miracles, we believe in all of the New Testament expression of the gifts of the Spirit. So because of that, we belong to this tribe of revival churches across the nation. But just because a particular tribe or particular church is doing something related to whatever in the church world doesn't mean that that's what our family's supposed to do. Do you understand that? Like, do you believe that, as moms and dads in this house or as parents, that every time another family or a parent does something, you're supposed to do what they do? No different in the church world. And please hear me this morning. You got to respond a little bit today, okay? Got to be a little bit. I don't want to just be the only one talking here. So let me highlight a few things and see what this looks like. Let me start out by saying the metrics for the success of a family church are different than the metrics for other places. And what I mean by that is our metrics for success as a family aren't found in attendance or attenders, although that's a good thing to have people attend. Income, buildings, or events. Those types of metrics are very standard for most churches in America. You've got a lot of people showing up. You've got a lot of income. You've got amazing buildings. You've got amazing events taking place. You've got to be doing something right. And there are times that's a very true thing, but not always. I believe that how Jesus measures success in a local body, a church in a locality, is this. I believe it's the transformation of souls, saints, and I believe the third thing would be spheres or your circle of influence. Let me say it again. I believe Jesus wants to measure how we do church through the transformation of souls. What does that look like? Spirit, soul, body. How are you doing? How are you maturing in Christ? So maturity as a son and a daughter is very, very important. We cannot remain as we were when we first got saved. God's calling us to higher places, deeper places, grace to grace, right? He wants us to be transformed from the inside out. How are you doing? He wants us to mature. So Jesus would say, I think, he would measure transformation of souls. He wants the saints of God to do what they've been called to do. What have we been called to do? I believe in part, as saints of God, we've been called to disciple nations. You say, how do we disciple nations for another day? But we are called to do that. That's what the ecclesia is all about. That's what about 12 of us every Thursday morning in a Bible study in El Cajon, pastors, leaders, we're studying the ecclesia. We're saying, God, what are you calling the region to as it relates to the church, the ecclesia? Because you see, as saints of God, Christ's followers, he never intended for us to sit in a chair and really, really do nothing. He's called us to take the word ecclesia is this. It's very simple definition, but we've lost the translation over decades and decades and decades of doing church, right? In America, especially the Western church. And the real essence of the ecclesia is the called out ones. I like to add the next word, the phrase, the sent ones. You see, we can't fulfill the mandate of the scripture as the family of God unless we understand that we, the saints of God, have been called to something greater than church attendance or to give our money or to simply build bigger buildings. We belong to a church in Sacramento that had this facility that was very indebted. I mean, it just encumbered in debt. And it was an ugly building, quite honestly. It was these concrete tilt-up walls, rectangular. It went like this. And it was probably $5 million in debt. It was just an awkward building, but it functioned, it worked fine, right? But it was always the vision of the pastor that we served with that he wanted to build the building that would, my language, not his now, that would actually leave his legacy. So he wanted to build this, you know, multiple thousands of a person seat building so that it could accommodate the crowd, so to speak. My point in sharing that with you is this. Is a building really what makes a people of God do what they're supposed to be doing? No. I say no. Are we grateful for what we have here?
Yes.
Are we thankful for the 38,000 square feet that God's given to us?
Yes.
Are we thankful for the houses that God's given to us?
Yes.
Are we thankful for the apartments that God's given to us?
Yes.
Are we thankful that God's allowing us now with the leadership that we have to create something that allows us to use the assets that God's given to us for one purpose, and that's to advance the kingdom of God, not just to pay salaries, but to take care of everything that's going on. That's why it's so important, sidebar, that we give. Not because we keep the lights on, but because when we give, it allows God to do what's in our hearts to advance the cause of Christ as a family. He's given this family a huge dream and a huge vision. And some have given up on the dream. I've given up sometimes in my heart on the dream, and it requires a prophetic word to kick my butt to get me back on track. How about you? Have you given up on your dreams? Have you given up on what God promised you 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 20 years ago? I don't know. But if you have, you need to ask the Father to kind of re-energize and refocus your vision, because he wants to fulfill the things he's promised in his word he would fulfill through you. Right. You're the, yes, we'll just stop right there because I'll get stuck. So many churches are programmatic in nature, and they're streamlined in systems and processes, and they're good things, they're not wrong things. It's corporately driven, top-down management. I have news for you this morning. I really believe that God is speaking to us, and we've been working on this, and it seems like it goes ever so slow, but God's restructuring how we do church, if you will, so that we're not so top-down, which we've never totally been top-down, but it's really more a collaboration. It's more saying we want to come alongside of one another, alongside of you, alongside of the family, and say, how can we help you fulfill your dreams? Yeah. You know, I've been saying that for a long, long time. And I really believe that in the next 6 months to a year, we're gonna have seen finally the fruit of our structural changes, so we can begin to say, you'll never be content just sitting in a chair at Cross Point until you're doing what God's called you to do. I call it your sweet spot. Don't respond, but who of you know where your sweet spot is? We talked about this, I think it was in Life Tracks last week. And there are places that God wants to plant you and place you where you function in your sweet spot. It's kind of like you know, a skateboard wheel, when you hit it, and if it has good ball bearings inside that wheel, it just spins forever, right? Or the hub of a bicycle wheel, when it's in good shape, you spin it and just keep going and going and going. That's sweet spot. Do you know what your sweet spot is? If not, I hope that we can help you find that.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope we can help you find that. And I believe, I need to quickly go, but I believe we can find that when we truly function as a family church.
Yeah.
Not just, let's equip you, let's train you, and then all of a sudden now you've got all this information, but what do I do with it? How many believe that God's called many of us to marketplace ministry? Matter of fact, I'll tell you that probably about 90-some% of everyone's called to marketplace. The percentage of people that are called to the mountain of the church or religion is very small. Yet growing up in church, that's exactly what I was told. You've got a call on your life. You've got a call on your life. You've got a call on your life. And that's a true statement, because guess what? Every one of us in this room has a call on their life to serve Jesus and to give away the goodness of God to a generation. Every single person is called. Every single person is called to be a minister. Every single person is called to do something great for Jesus. But it's not limited to or exclusive of working inside the walls of a church building. I do believe there are many that are called to that. Don't get me wrong. But I think we need to expand that definition to tell us and help us as a family that when it's not necessarily within the wall, because listen, this can be boring. There's only so much you can do inside the walls. But when you understand your sweet spot outside the walls and you go do it, how exhilarating is that? How powerful is that when God calls you to take a stand in the marketplace and you begin to be a marketplace minister of the gospel? It's ridiculously good, Barry. Thank you. See, healthy families are intentionally built. I've been giving this some thought. Because when it comes to the community of faith called the church, I don't think we always do well with unconditional love. I don't think we always do well with acceptance. I don't think we always do well with forgiveness. I think the original intent in the Old Testament, when you read about what the purpose of us being created for, was simple. It says in Genesis, to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, and to subdue it. Take dominion. Take authority. Do what I created you to do. See, in family dynamics, in natural family dynamics, it's not about raising children. It's about raising healthy adults who can then go out of their home and be productive as sons and daughters in the kingdom. Hear what I'm saying? Sometimes when we're raising our kids, we lose sight of the big picture because we're living in the now, understandably so, because it overwhelms us, it consumes us. We don't know, we sometimes wonder, what in the world are we doing? It does get mildly easier the older your kids get, mildly. And by the third child, we kind of had a handle on, I think. Don't ask Mackenzie, but for sure don't ask Lacey, with being the firstborn. Maybe ask Blake, being the middle child. That might be the better one to ask. But you see, that translates into how we do family life in a church. See, if we understand that it's not about simply just getting children in the church, get them saved so they can serve the church and do all the stuff in the church, we've missed what the original call was. The original call was for us to raise up sons and daughters that are healthy in their understanding of the goodness of God as a child of God. And that because of the love of the Father in their life, to say to them, we believe you. We believe in you. We believe that the gifts and the callings that are in your life, God's going to use. And you genderly begin to push them into adulthood, if you will, and begin to say, now it's time for you to do what God crafted you to do. You're a sweet spot. Your sweet spot. If we continue to depend on mom and dad for our as adults for our source of nourishment and strength and encouragement and hope, we've missed something somewhere. Yeah. Our kids know mom and dad are there. We love that. We love having grandchildren. We love this thing that God's created. But hear the heart of the Father this morning when He says to us, "We've got to see a bigger picture than we're seeing." If you want to know ultimately where we desire to go, and this is just like one element of it, but the biggest element is that we want to create a family church. And I want to explain to you just for a few minutes what some of those things might look like as a family church. Not just calling it that, all right, but truly be that. Truly be that. Have you ever heard this? And I've said it, so you probably have heard it from here. But in a family church, one of the things that we say is we want there to be a place for you to feel safe and belong. Have you heard that before? Church is supposed to be a safe place where you can belong. Those aren't bad things to say, right? How many want to be safe, right? How many know in America, even though you're inside the building called the church, you might not always be safe? We don't know. But it's supposed to be a place where you can confess your sins and be safe. It's a place where you can belong, no matter who you are, where you come from. Correct? Is that right? I think it's a right statement, but I think that to a degree, there's a lot more to that statement. Because I've always thought that was the right statement, but I'm thinking that sometimes if we get too comfortable in our safety, we won't do what God's called us to do because we're so safe inside the safe, the security of a church. See, I think we all agree that when you go and you do what Jesus calls us to do, guess what happens? It can sometimes be very, very uncomfortable. Right? There are people being raised up in San Diego right now that are just going after it, man. I like what Landon's talking about doing and going to do with our youth. I love what's happening right now with our young people. I love it. I love it. But I love the fact that we're going to get back on the streets of our city and begin to go give away the goodness of God. You know why? Because you can't be super safe in the context of what we're talking about when you go out onto the streets of a community, be it a mall, be it a house, be it a Home Depot, be it wherever God places us, and begin to trust the Father to download things into your spirit and tell you on a treasure map, so to speak, who he's highlighting so you can go begin to pray for them and call out greatness in them and pray for their healing. What happens? Check this out. What happens if we get so good at this as a family that whenever we go out, we say, God, let me seize the day today. Let me be the one you use in the moment. Let me be the one, the carpe diem moment. Let me, in that moment, let me seize the moment by giving away your goodness. Just whatever it is, every day, just at least one time, let me give away God's goodness to somebody. It would revolutionize not only your life, but the entire family called Crosspoint. Because it wouldn't be about coming to church and being safe. It would be about being the church and really living a life that isn't very safe. See, the ecclesia was never supposed to be safe. Right. Never. You can't. When it says in Matthew, it says, I will build my church, right, the ecclesia. Well, the idea was I will build it in such a way that not only will they be secure and safe in who they are, but because they're safe and secure in who they are, not because of a building, not because of this, but because they're safe in who they are, I will then send them into the culture in which they're living to change it. Friends, right now, there's no greater time for us to be the ecclesia than right now. Right now. The world is at absolute, it's out of control right now. But you don't have to be. We don't have to be. We can walk in peace and goodness and kindness, and the love of the Father can be released with whoever we find and just say, Jesus, I'm a Christ follower. And I believe Jesus spoke to me about you, and he wants me to tell you something. Let me give you a couple thoughts. Number one, is a family church has got to be about the individual more than the organization. Now, hear what I'm saying. We need organization. We're working on that aggressively. We have been. And our systems have been refined, and we're in a place where I really feel like the fruit of our systems are going to come to pass quite soon. But hear this. It's not about just the organization and the systems. It's about the value of the individual, not just the value of the group, if you will. See, there's a tension between the value of an individual and the value of the group. If we put too much focus on the individual, it can lead to low commitment and maybe high chaos. That's happened here. That's all I'll say. It's happened here where your pastor has done that. Too much focus on one person, and it led to some very difficult times. On the other hand, if we focus too much on on the group, if you will, it can lead to I want to say this right. I'll just leave it at that. The individual above the organization. Why? Because when we begin to focus on you and your sweet spot, and we begin to figure out ways that we can help you, we can help form you, we can help you find your sweet spot, then the organizational part supports what we're doing with individuals. And then it becomes more of a family concept. See, God created family with the prime idea or directive to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. I think this directive suggests that in order for us to increase our circle of influence, we've got to begin to understand that I have a responsibility to be ecclesia. See, if we're to be fruitful and multiply, guess what multiplication looks like? It looks like when we begin to believe that my life matters, and so does the person I know that's going through a difficult time. I can be the solution to that person's problem because of who's inside of me.
Jesus.
See, when I begin to see somebody else's need And Jesus is the way that can bring a result to that person's problem, not me per se. He might reveal to me how to help them, but I'm not the answer to their problem. Jesus is, but I can help direct them towards Christ through my service of them. See, God wants us to... You know I don't live for church growth. It's not that. But listen, if we're going to live what the Bible teaches, then there does need to be a healthy measure of church growth, if you will. Church growth is, I'm the church. And God's given us a family called Crosspoint. And because I belong to Crosspoint and the church, that responsibility to expose my family, my friends, my cohorts and at work, I have responsibility to share with them what I know. So the idea of just being a family is not to maintain our family, but to multiply by developing every person that calls us their home and send them to create new families. But that makes sense at all. Let me give you another one. Family church is a church that puts development above delegation, is the word we'll use. We can't be about maintenance. We've got to be proactive in helping people develop into their call. So we can put all this out there, but you still have to make the decision that I want to be what God's called me to be. You have to make a choice to be faithful to the family. We have to make a choice that not just because the doors are open every day that you have to be here. That's not my point. My point is that when God calls us to do something, us individually to do something, you can't give that to somebody else and say it's their responsibility. When God's highlighted you and said it's your responsibility. You know, this is kind of a dumb statement, but just allow me to make it. You know, if everyone showed up at Crosspoint on a Sunday, for example, you'd be blown away how many people call this their home. You'd be blown away. You might be willing to fight for your seat because someone took it. How dare them take my seat? This is my spot. Right? So I believe what this is trying to say is that we have got to get to the place, and I think we're moving this way, where as a family, your development, your maturity, your place in the family is more important than anything. And just because we can delegate something out doesn't mean that that's a form of maturity. Delegation is not the priority, but you are the priority. So in this, God give us grace as we move forward with trying to figure all this out, how to be the ecclesia. And I think he's revealing things to us that in time we're going to understand. Part of that is we've been reconstructing our missional mandate. What is the mandate that God's given to us as a church? What is our assignment as a family called Crosspoint Life in La Mesa? And we've crafted that and we've shared it with some of the leadership in the house. But there's more work to be done. So just be patient with that, but I want you to catch this idea that God's called us to be a family church. See, God doesn't bring you here to do the chores of ministry for us.
Right. That's a good word.
Because that's what a lot of pastors think, a lot of leaders think. We got people now, we can do all this stuff. I'm tired of doing this stuff. I want to do what the Father is telling us to do. Because when it's His stuff, it's good stuff. When it's other stuff, it's treasury. It's boring. And I'm bored with church, to be honest with you. Not you guys, but I'm just bored with what I'm always told I'm supposed to do as a leader in the church. Stop telling me what to do. Just stop telling me that. Let's figure out how to do this together as a family. And realize that you're not just some robot that comes to the doors and you're supposed to go do your thing. Yeah, it's a heart thing. That's right. Yeah, that's enough on that. Let me just give you one last thought. This is kind of the one I think that can help us break through to a new place as it relates to family. Family church is diverse and unified. Family church is diverse and unified. I think one of the things that can make a family church challenging is the tension between that unity and that diversity. See, unity is never about uniformity. Never. But without unity, we can never accomplish the things that God's put in our heart as a family to accomplish, the goals he's given to us. At the same time, without a commitment to diversity, we will never have the representation of the different aspects of Jesus. And we'll never be able to truly be the church united if we're not willing to understand that Jesus died for all people. Not just your little cute people group, but all people.
Right.
All people. I think a church is diverse can be one of the most important distinctions of other churches. Just because you have ethnicity in your church doesn't mean you're diverse. There are churches that we call factory churches that spit out uniform products with great efficiency in an effective manner, but aren't transforming anything. Jesus called us to transform communities. We have hope in Jesus. And because of the hope we have in Christ, we together can truly be the church triumphant. It's in Colossians chapter 1. It says that Jesus in me, the hope of glory. Because you have Jesus in you, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. We can be the people that love all people, of all races, of all creeds, of all colors. And I'm tired of listening to the TV reports of all the stuff that's happening in our cities throughout America. Because this cop killed that person, or that person killed this person, or because this group doesn't like that person. Jesus said there's no distinction of people in my kingdom. Greek, Gentile, Jew, black, white, it doesn't matter. And if you are a prejudiced person, you need to get right with God right now, today. Ask him to forgive you of your prejudice and begin to say, Jesus, give me a heart for all mankind. I have news for you. When you get to heaven, you're not going to like it very well if you make it. I'm not sure you'll make it if you don't love all people. He's ultimately the judge. I get that. But I'm going to judge for a moment. I don't quite see how you can not love people and say you love Jesus. I don't see how you can say you love Jesus and not like other people of different races or creeds or colors than you. I don't see how you can do that. True family is built on the understanding that we all are different by God's design. Every one of us in this room is different because of God's design. In your mama's womb, man, he intricately formed you to be the person you are today. When will we begin to accept the fact that we're sons and daughters and he has a call on all of our lives? And it's time for us to begin to function that way. And when you function that way, you're encouraging another brother or sister in this family called Crosspoint to do what they've been called to do. And when we all begin to do that together, guess what? Our family called Crosspoint, our tribe, begins to grow in maturity and depth and width. We begin to see the call of God. See, God's not called us just to La Mesa any longer. That's been our mantra for a long time. Love a city, change our world. Well, that's shifting. Because it's time for us not just to love the city of La Mesa. It's time for us to love communities. You know why? Because in community, there is diversity. We have all kinds of different communities in our cities. So when we begin to limit our love for a city, we begin to limit the potential we have for loving different communities within that city. Who is it that God's calling you to love? Who is it that God's convicting you of today? He's saying, I have not walked well in this area. I have not loved well this people group. I find myself judging them. I find myself being completely angry with them, ticked off with them, judgmental towards them. I bet you everybody in this house has somebody or some group that you feel that way about at times. So you know what has to happen today? We need to simply make a statement, a declaration of repentance today of all of us. Every one of us. If you feel yourself resisting, like, I ain't gonna do that. Watch out for the bolt. And I'm certainly not talking San Diego bolt. That one's in LA now. Let it stay there.
Amen, Pastor. Good word.
So let me bring some division. You ready? Go Rams! Okay, anyway. I want to hear about Pittsburgh. I want to hear about Pittsburgh. I want to hear about Green Bay. Sit down, Green Bay. Sit down, Green Bay. We have no unity right now. I just left the room. Jesus just left the room. Family church. Family church means we can joke like that. Family church means that we have no loyalty. No, I'm not going to say that. But family church means this. It means that we're growing in our capacity to be diverse and to unify based on the fact that Jesus died for your sins. He loves you unconditionally, and he wants us all to understand that his blood doesn't and isn't for a specific or only one particular people group. His blood is a remission of sins for all mankind. Are you ready for the Holy Spirit to even unify us more as we begin to dream about how we can take the streets of our communities? Stand with me. Repeat after me, would you? Holy Spirit, I invite you right now to come and speak to me. Now, let's pause for a moment before you finish repeating that. This is for you individually. Okay, I'm not asking for you to do this for anybody else. You individually. And if you're having a hard time with forgiveness of somebody or some people group, right now is a good time to pray this prayer to ask Holy Spirit to help you. Because you will, if you want it. Okay, let's pick it back up. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for forgiving me. Thank you that your blood runs through my veins. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the supernatural strength you've given me to love all people. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be a community, a family called Crosspoint Life that learns how to love really well. Let it be one of the things. Say it with me. Let it be one of the things. A banner over us that we're known for. A loving people, a kind people, a forgiving people. In the name of Jesus, we pray this morning. Amen.